Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Lords of Limited. My name is Ben Orney, and joining me on the line, as always, Mr. Ethan, Teachers Past Sacks. You were definitely a Teachers Past in school, were you not?
No, pleasure to have in class. Come on now, what are you doing?
Pleasure to have in class? That's what you're going with? You're telling me you didn't annoy teachers, you didn't do your homework from first period during second period?
No, I'm a good student. I'm very type A. I'm a goody two shoes. Sorry, to burst your bubbles. Yeah, I don't know. What about you? I assume similar.
No.
That
was a huge teacher's past. Yeah, I did my homework from every period during the next period. Never took homework home during school. I would always have my book on my lap doing my homework during the lesson from the period before. I loved proving teachers wrong about stuff that they were trying to do, whatever, with grammar and English. Like, I was particularly bad in English. I was a huge teacher's pest. I got blackballed from National Honor Society because so many, like, I was a 4.0 in all these things, didn't get picked for National Honor Society because too many teachers didn't like me.
I had no idea I had teamed up with such a miscreant.
There was a year of school I had passes to every period that weren't dated, and I just kept reusing them over and over because people trusted me because I was like a high achieving student. I was a really bad kid in school. I had the system rigged.
And you were like, and what I'm going to do is go into education.
Yeah, it was great.
What are we, 9 years into our relationship? And I'm just learning this now about you. This is shocking to me. No, I hate procrastinating. Like, I don't, the idea of like doing homework that's due in an hour, like,
no, not that. You misunderstand. I was getting super ahead of the game. Like, it was assigned first period, and I was already doing it second period so that I had it done well in advance. I was getting it done ASAP. I see. No procrastination here.
But not paying attention during said second period.
Ah, school's easy.
School's easy. There he is. Do you think evaluating these cards and mechanics is going to be easy?
I do. I think it's interesting. Actually, I think it's going to be very fruitful conversation is what I think. I think there's a lot of ways it could go.
Yeah. So we are doing the Secrets of Strixhaven previews episode full swing now. So we've got new mechanics to check out. We've got a lot of sweet cards to look at. Tons of stuff for each of the five. Are they schools or are there colleges?
Colleges, I think.
Each of the five colleges. And then, of course, my favorite segment, Greater Garbage, where we're going to just have to put a stamp on some cards of whether or not we think they will be great or not. But before we do that, a little housekeeping, and then we'll dive into these new mechanics. Let's chat about the Patreon page. Patreon.com/LordsOfLimited is where folks can go to give back to the show if they so choose. The show will always be free, but as we say, usually around new set time, it's just a great opportunity to get in on the Discord because it's hopping. It's popping. People are talking about the previews. People are talking about the mechanics. Once the full set drops, we're going to be doing practice drafts in the Discord, and that's what you get access to via the Patreon. I also wanted to shout out a couple new perks from the Patreon that we'll be rolling out. One is I'm going to be doing a monthly gameplay review video, so getting folks from the Discord to throw some gameplay spots or just full games that they thought were interesting, decisions that they want reviewed, and I'm going to go over those and drop those as videos exclusive for patrons, though we might tease those out on our YouTube channel. And I'm going to start streaming to Discord as well. I decided to sort of entrench myself in the community a little bit more. So we'll get that set up in the coming weeks. But so some perks coming down the pipe on the Patreon, other than our Discord and of course our higher up the reward tier rankings, you get access to our podcast feed where you get this episode a day early ad free and also access to our weekly bonus episode of Lords Unlimited.
That is a lot coming your way. Can I get some Cube game player videos? I cannot get to 7 wins in Cube on Arena to save my life.
Yeah, send them my way. I'd love to tell you what you're doing wrong.
I think it's going wrong in the draft. Like, I think what's happening is I'm trying to draft like LSV videos, and there are too many other people trying to draft like LSV videos, and then I keep getting there with like 4/5 of a really good deck, and that just ain't cutting it in best of one.
Whatever, however I can help you, my troubled student compatriot, I'm pleased to do so. But this is what I was telling you on Lords Unlimited last week. You got to let your Cube freak flag fly. Like, I had the opposite problem. I was going into the Power Cube trying to force my beloved Sacrifice deck, and I was just seeing too many good cards going pick 7, pick 8. I was like, I can't do this.
Blood Artist is atrocious in the Arena Powered Cube.
Friends don't let friends draft 2-mana 0/1s in Powered Cube. So I'm not saying that Blood Artist is the way to go, but Goblin Bombardment is great. And Gut and Bombardiers is back. Cube is great. I've been drafting up a storm.
I also have been drafting up a storm. It's been great.
But we digress. The Patreon is where you get back to the show, and we want to shout out our new patrons the first week that they join. So this week we're welcoming Lars and Steph. Thank you, thank you, thank you. We really appreciate your support.
Cannot say thank you enough to both of you.
As I was going through the new mechanics and the cards, I just wanted to take a little trip down Strixhaven memory lane, because it's been quite a few years, and it is extremely possible that we have many listeners who did not play during OG Strixhaven. And I was trying to remember what the power rankings was of the colleges then, and wondering if that might trickle down to the power rankings of the colleges here. What are your thoughts? Do you have early takes on what looks great or what looks bad?
No, we don't have enough cards yet. I think doing stuff like that before we have the full card pool is dangerous. And I'm even sort of coming around to the opinion that once we have the first card pool and doing that sort of stuff without playing with the cards can be dangerous if you get stuck in where your brain was at with those predictions. So just trying to be very fluid during prediction season and the early days of playing.
Are we not? That means I'm not getting hot takes from you next week.
Oh, you'll get hot takes. Don't you worry.
Okay. Whew, that was scary. All right. Well, the good ranking from OG Strixhaven was Silverquill 1, which is black white.
I think handily number one.
Handily number one. Quandrix, which was blue green, and number two.
Fractal your fractal.
Fractal your fractal. Number three, Prismari, which is blue red. Number four, Lorehold, which was red white. And number five, Witherbloom, which was black-green. And what this meant was that starting white and blue was the place to be, because white gave you inroads to either be Silverquill or Lorehold, unfortunately, and blue gave you inroads to Quandrix or Prismari, and neither of those colors are represented in the fifth college in Witherbloom.
I mean, I think it would be foolish on Wizards' part to have this exact same power rankings, although I'm curious how much they can calibrate that stuff that well with their small testing team. But I would hope there's some shifting in the power rankings. I have been impressed with what I've seen from the Lorehold previews so far.
Yeah, but I feel like I'm having deja vu, which I want to talk to you about this on Lords Unlimited. I want to talk to you about deja vu just in general. But I've been having deja vu looking through this card file of, like, I remember being excited about the Witherbloom cards and being excited about Lorehold playing in this new funky leave the graveyard space, and both of those falling flat. Like, Lorehold was not last because, like, you could still just be a good base white aggro deck and smash face. And Witherbloom, the life gain stuff was just a little finicky. And I'm feeling myself looking at the black green life gain stuff this time around, Teacher's Pest, and going, ooh, look at these trinkets I can play with, but I'm not sure that the trinkets are going to be good.
Yeah, the life gain stuff does look a little finicky. We'll see. We'll see when the full card gallery gets spoiled. That takes us on to the official stuff, which is the new mechanics, which is prepare up first. So permanents can have the designation prepared, which basically allows them to cast a copy of a spell which is listed in the bottom right corner of the card. So different than the spot where the adventurers and all the omens would be, other corner of the card. And once a creature becomes prepared, essentially a copy of its prepare spell appears in exile. So for example, we've got a card here, Studious First Year, which is quite a banger. This is single green for a 1/1 common bear wizard, and it enters prepared. And then its prepare spell is Rampant Growth, 1 and a green sorcery. Search your library for a basic land card, put that onto the battlefield tapped, then shuffle. So you cast the creature, creatures on the battlefield, some of them enter prepared, some of them you have to meet certain conditions for them to become prepared. But once they're prepared, whatever the spell listed in the bottom right corner, which is a lot of iconic spells from Magic's history, you can then cast that at any time. Timing restrictions would normally apply. So Rampant Growth is a sorcery. Anytime during your main phase, you can pay that 1 and a green. Sorcery, search of a basic land. And then for Studio's First Year, it is a one shot. Like, there's no way for it to become prepared again.
Well, not on its own, but there are other cards in the set that prepare creatures.
Correct.
So, man, I just want to talk about so much right now. I want to talk about this card specifically because it's on Greater Garbage later on. I want to talk about how, like, the prepared mechanic shakes out. I have some grinds my gears early takes that it makes me mad that some of these are actual spells from Magic's history and some of them are not. I think that's clunky. I wish they were all the Rampant Growths and Ancestral Recalls of the world. That feels nicer to me than new spells. Anyway, where do you want to start? Do you want to talk about prepared? Can we talk about this card specifically? What can we do?
Let's talk about this card specifically.
This message is sponsored by Raycon. With Mother's Day coming up, it's a great time to find a gift that actually fits into your mom's everyday life. Whether she's going for a morning walk, running errands, or talking on the phone, Raycon's Essential Open Earbuds are a great option.
Because they're open ears, she can listen to music or podcasts while still hearing what's happening around her. The sound stays clear and balanced without feeling closed off from her surroundings, keeping her safe and aware. It's a thoughtful Mother's Day gift, and honestly, it's also great to pick up if you want a pair for yourself too. And right now, you can grab them for 15% off.
A couple weeks ago, I mentioned that somehow I had lost one of my Raycon earbuds in my bedroom. I can only assume Jonah digested it. But this led me to have to replace my pair, and I also thought, let me get Gen 1 as well for Mother's Day. And with baby number 2 on the way, Raycon's earbuds are great for listening to something while trying to rock a little one to sleep at all hours of the night.
Raycon has over 3 million customers, and the sound quality is just as good as the way more expensive brands. Plus, these earbuds are ultra lightweight, have multi-point connectivity, and 36 hours of battery life. And if you don't like them, they have a 30-day guarantee.
Celebrate the moms in your life. Go to buyraycon.com/lolopen to get 15% off the Essential Open Earbuds. Thanks, Raycon, for sponsoring. So this card, I think specifically, is interesting. I could see it being great or garbage. I could see this being one of the top commons in the set.
No,
I could see
this
not mattering at all.
No chance. How is this garbage? How is this card garbage?
I don't think it is, but there's no. But for me, I think there's no chance that it's like a C. It's either gonna be like a D plus or a B minus.
I like that take.
I'm inclined to think B minus because, like, you just don't run out of stuff to do with your mana. One of the things that's in opposition to this card being good was saying that, like, yeah, it's good in your opener, but, like, on turn 6, do you care about this? And I was like, I think you just want lands in Magic these days. Like, I don't think it's bad to be able to hit your land drops later on, even. And so I think that works in this card's favor. Plus the ramping, plus the fixing of it all.
But yeah, ramping, fixing. Also, it very naturally curves into itself in your opener. That's
sure.
Nice. It is essentially the downside of prepare is it's essentially a 1/1 that makes a lander token that like goes away when the creature goes away. So there are some other cards. That discussion doesn't come up with this one specifically so much, but you do have to keep your creature out of combat until you play the prepare spell, which is another very interesting piece of the prepared puzzle.
I feel like people are going to, much like when Kicker's involved, you're like, I want full value. I'm not going to cast my thing as a 2-mana 2/2. I want to cast it as a 5-mana 4/4 with a flying counter or whatever the Kicker thing lets you do. When it's like, no, you should have just played this on turn 2 because you needed to do something on turn 2. I think the inclination will be, I want to get full value of my card, so I'm not going to trade off my creature in combat before I get to play the spell that's attached to it once it's prepared. And I think that's going to be wrong most of the time.
Well, it'll be interesting to see how fast the format ends up being or how incentivized you are to engage in creature combat.
Well, and the flip side is I think that like it's going to feel a little snowbally. Like if I don't think you need to like kill Studious First Year on the spot, but there are some that you're going to be like, I don't really know if I want you to prepare this, but it's like, is this the thing that you need to spend your removal on? Is it the prepared stuff? Do you need to save it for bombs? Like, how much do you want to be like shields up? I just want to get all my prepared spells cast. It'll be interesting to see, but my gut is that people are going to be too inclined to get full value and not tussle their creatures before casting the spells.
That checks out with me. I mean, this is definitely worse than adventure in that sense, right?
Yes. That's the other weird thing about this card is that it's what? It's a Pacific Wayfinder in installments. But as a 1-1, how much does it being a 1-1, not a 2-2 matter? How much does installments give it a benefit? These are like the little knobs, and I love the little knobs being turned here because it's making it a fun puzzle. But, you know, time will tell if this ends up being great or garbage. So it sounds like you're saying great on Studious First Year.
I think you have to come down as great initially, I think. There's also a banger of a card here. Yeah. That the first time I saw, I was like, that's really cool. Like, so we do see some classic spells. We've got Emeritus of Ideation here. This is 3 blue-blue for a mythic rare, 5/5 flying, ward 2, enters prepared, and whenever it attacks, you can exile 8 guards from your graveyard. If you do, it becomes prepared again. And it's prepare spell, Ancestral Recall, printed on a Magic the Gathering. This is the way around the reserve list. Single blue instant, target player draws 3 cards.
I mean, this was the first like thing that was shown with prepared. Very cool to tease that Ancestral Recall is coming back. It's sort of funny that like I don't know. Is this good enough for any format? Like, is this good enough for EDH? Is this good enough for standard?
I mean, three blue, blue, blue. You have a 5/5 flying, draw three. That's pretty great. It's going to be real annoying to play against in limited. That's for sure.
Yeah. In limited, like, I think limited is the format this is going to, like, be most prevalent or most powerful in, for sure. Yeah. Very excited to cast some ancestrals in limited. So first up is Repartee from Silverquill, which is black-white. This is an ability word that triggers when you cast an instant or sorcery spell targeting a creature. You're incentivized to interact with your creatures and opponent's creatures. So the example card we have here is Conciliator's Duelist. This is white-white, black-black for a 4/3 rare. When this creature enters, draw a card. Each player loses a life. And the Repartee text is whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature, exile up to one target creature, return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control at the beginning of the next end step.
A highly interactive mechanic. I mean, this card's a rare, so it's juiced, but imagine your opponent goes to kill this. And you, like, you're in combat, your opponent goes to kill this. You have a combat trick. You target one of your own creatures to win its blocking fight. Blink this out from under your opponent's removal spell. It comes back. You draw a card. Like, it just seems like there's going to be some insane combat steps when you're playing Silverquill.
Yeah, that was Silverquill. The first time around, cared about things that targeted specifically your creatures. So, like, Silverquill is very combat tricky. This time around, it's now just targeting anything. So it's counting removal spells too.
Yeah, that seems like a highly interactive mechanic, which looks like it'll be cool. Takes us on to Prismari, which is blue-red, and the mechanic is Opus for Prismari, which is an ability word that triggers whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell. So you can kind of shortcut it to prowess in your head. Each Opus ability has an initial effect and then an additional effect, or like a inflated effect if you spend 5 or more mana to cast the spell that triggers Opus. So, for example, we've got Color Storm Stallion here, which is 1 blue-red for a rare. It's a 3/3 elemental horse with ward 1 and haste, and it has Opus. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, this creature gets +1/+1 until end of turn. If 5 or more mana was spent to cast that spell, create a token that's a copy of this creature.
I mean, this is juiced, obviously, but Opus in general, I think, is a really interesting mechanic for limited. Like, we've seen it be spending 4 or more mana. Now the threshold is 5, which is quite a bit more, I think, for that threshold. But it's interesting when we've got all the prepared cards, right? That, like, you've got these creatures that then have an expensive spell that you may not normally put in your deck, but because it's attached to the creature that can become prepared and then let you cast it, it's sort of air quotes free to put in your deck. So there's a lot of sneaky ways to trigger Opus in the set, or sneaky ways to potentially trigger Opus, but whether or not you will have time to do so, or which I imagine you do, like, trust that R&D is putting mechanics in the set that we will actually get to play with. So I'm trusting that prepared is gonna come up enough of the time, but it's still like 5 mana is a lot.
Yeah, except is it that much more than 4? Like, basically late in the game, that is probably your turn cycle. And we were thinking in Final Fantasy, well, like, is that really going to be good? And it turns out it was very good. I think one takeaway just from that conversation for me is that Repartee benefits because you come with instant and sorcery spells stapled onto creatures because of prepared. So maybe you don't want to put, you know, white, black, put a +1/+1 counter on each of 2 target creatures in your deck normally, but when it comes stapled onto a 2/2, like, yeah, you're in for doing that.
Yeah. I guess I was thinking, like, not all of the prepared spells are things that target creatures, but a lot of them do. A lot of them are either benefits for your own creatures or a kill spell for your opponent's creatures. So yeah. Well, okay. That tracks.
Sure. But much like Adventure, do you remember an Adventure in Eldraine? Like, the aggro decks just never ran out of stuff to do.
Yes.
Because there were,
like, 29
spells on everything
in your deck. Yeah.
Both Repartee and Opus want you to have a high density of spells in your deck, and prepared is going to let you have a high density of spells in your deck while also keeping a normal creature count density.
Ooh, does this mean it's an 18 land format?
It could be.
The takes are coming. I mean, I guess one of the things that I'm thinking about with how prepared is playing with these is just like the comp from when in Final Fantasy there was the mana value 4 or greater stuff, and the reason that was so successful was you had these splits of you can play a 1 mana spell or a 2 mana spell, or you can kick it for 4 or six or eight or whatever. And then it skirts the issue of like, hey, you can put something that is going to be mana value four in your deck, but it doesn't necessarily have to be, and it can sit in the one drop slot. Similar to, you can put a two drop in your deck that's going to have a five mana spell tacked onto it, so you don't actually have to fill your five drop slot to make your Prismari deck work.
Correct.
Next is Infusion, which is the Witherbloom mechanic, the black-green mechanic. This is an ability word that cares about if you've gained life this turn. So the example card here is Old Growth Educator. It's two black-green for a 4/4 with Vigilance and Reach. And when it enters, you put two +1/+1 counters on it if you gained life this turn. And I think should shout out that there are pest tokens in this set, much like there were in Strixhaven, but they're different. They do different things. The pest tokens in original Strixhaven, when they died, you gained a life. And these ones are when they attack, you gain a life.
I didn't read them that closely. That is news to me. I assumed they were still the same.
Makes it so that this is a little bit more in your control to trigger for no mana. If you want to just chump attack with your pest token to make sure you gain life, and then post-combat play this as a 4-mana 6/6 Vigilance Reach. I wish that this had trample.
Can you imagine also if there's that aspect going on and then there's a good black give a thing death touch and it dies into a whatever type trick? That would be a really cool piece of the Witherbloom puzzle.
That would be a very cool piece of the Witherbloom puzzle. We'll have to look out for that in the coming week.
Takes us on to Lorehold, which is red-white, and the mechanic is Flashback, which is, if you've not played with it before, a keyword ability that lets you cast a card with Flashback from your graveyard by paying its Flashback cost, and then that once you cast it for its Flashback cost, it gets exiled as it resolves. You can't keep casting it over and over. Example card here is Molten Note deals damage equal to... No, damn it.
You just read what's on the card.
I'm trying to. The second time. I tried to the second time. And Molten Note deals damage to target creature equal to the amount of mana spent to cast the spell. Untap all creatures you control, and it's got Flashback for 6 red white.
If we can actually cast this spell for its Flashback cost, I'm going to like this format.
I mean, it certainly seems like there's going to be some grind based on... Prepare is going to highly incentivize you to not put your creatures into trading situations.
Yeah. I mean, maybe this is, we're just seeing the, I don't know, the not ripple effect, but we're just continually seeing that like limited sets are a little slower in the play booster era. It's the pendulum swinging back from the one drop era. Lorehold the first time around did this leave the graveyard stuff in a much trinketier way. And now it's just like, oh, yeah, we have a leave the graveyard mechanic. It's called Flashback. Let's just use that. And I'm much more excited to see that. We might get to some of the payoffs or some of the like build arounds that care about things leaving the graveyard that give you value over and over, whether you're getting a 2/2 or whatever. Remains to be seen, I think, if those are going to be that successful. But something like Molten Note is pretty sweet. I mean, this is just, you just pay red, white to deal 2 damage to something. Right? This is just equal to the amount of mana spent on this period, not spent for X.
Correct. Yes. It's a very pushed card. But just looking at what's in our show notes right now, like you can also kind of see already Lorehold, like Flashback's going to be on spells, which is going to play very, like the red-white Flashback's going to pair very nicely with Opus. And the spells that from Lorehold are going to trigger things from Silverquill, the Repartee. Mm-hmm. Like you can already see this four color, no green synergy stuff. I hate to be, before we've even played with the cards, putting a gravestone up for green, but it's not looking great for green per these discussions currently.
You can't do that. You can't. They'll come for us.
I can.
They're coming.
I can and I am.
All right. Well, does Quandrix get something good then?
It gets a ability called Increment, which is a very Quandrix-y thing, which is blue-green, which is a keyword representing a triggered ability found on creatures. So creatures with Increment, this is like Evolve, but for mana value of spells. So creatures with Increment get a +1/+1 counter whenever you cast a spell and the amount of mana spent to cast the spell is greater than either the power or the toughness of the creature with Increment. And also worth noting, because I had this question as I was reading this mechanic, it checks on cast and on resolution. So it still has to, when it resolves, be greater than either the power or the toughness.
Okay.
So we've got Cuboid Colony here, which is blue-green for an uncommon 1-1 insect with flash, flying, trample, and, you guessed it, increment.
Play this on two. Like, end of your opponent's turn, flash it and play it on two. And then it's just going to grow every turn. You play a two-drop or a three-drop, this grows. Then you play a three-drop, this grows. Like,
theoretically, if you keep curving out, this is growing every turn.
That's pretty sweet. I mean, it's almost exactly like Evolve. Like, it's less finicky. Evolve, you sort of had to think about, like, ooh, am I going to play this? I want one fours in my deck so that I can grow all my Evolve things consistently no matter what. This is a little less finicky than that.
I mean, so you're below rate when you cast this. You have to trigger it once to get it at rate. And then you have to trigger it a second time before you're ahead of the game.
I mean, that's a knock against this as a top deck. It's not a knock against it in your opening hand. You play this end of turn and then untap and play something as a 2/2 flying trample for 2 mana.
It's just
going to grow. And again, prepared spells means that you're going to just have
expensive stuff. Yeah.
At your disposal if you have the mana for it.
So biggest losers looking like Witherbloom again?
I think so, but I don't know. There was a sixth college, a secret Demir deck, and I'm hoping there's going to be something like that here to get us to break out of the guild set of it all.
Please, dear Lord. This is the third guild set in a row. That is brutal.
What else we got?
We've got Paradigm, which is a new keyword that appears on a cycle of mythics that are going to be very unfortunate to play against in Limited, I think. But it's a new keyword that appears on a cycle of sorceries that gives them staying power. So whenever you resolve a Paradigm spell, you exile it and then cast a copy of it at the beginning of each of your first main phases without paying its mana cost. So we have Improvisation Capstone here, which is 5 red-red for a mythic. These are also lessons, despite Lesson Learned not coming back in this format. But you exile cards from the top of your library until you exile cards with total mana value 4 or greater. You may cast any number of spells from among them without paying their mana costs, and then it has the Paradigm text where it keeps coming back over and over and over and over.
Yeah, it's pretty broken. Okay. We've also got Converge, which is an ability word that highlights spells that count the number of colors of mana used to cast those spells. So, for example, we have Rancorous Archaic. It's 5 colorless mana for a 2/2 creature avatar at common with trample and reach. But it has Converge. It enters with a +1/+1 counter on it for each color of mana spent to cast it. So, ostensibly, in any 2-color deck, this will just be a 5-mana 4/4 trample reach. But if you're doing any cooking, it can be up to a 7/7 trample reach.
And lastly, a very, very small footnote here, as it were, we've got a new artifact subtype called Book. Which, as far as we know right now, has no relevance. It's a thing called Diary of Dreams. It's 2-mana artifact, Book. And whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, put a page counter on this artifact. You can pay 5, tap, draw a card, and this ability costs 1 less to activate for each page counter on this artifact. But Book is just a new type of artifact that we are getting.
Okay. So we've got quite a few of the, like, signposts, and in these, like, this is going to be the most guildiest of guild sets that we've seen so far this year, I think, because of the prevalence of multicolored cards at both common and uncommon. Like, for some of them, like Witherbloom right now, we have 7 cards total previewed. I'm hoping that's the maximum. So we've got a lot of college-specific cards that we can dive into. First up, for Quandrix, we've got Tam Observant Sequencer. It's 2 green-blue for a 4/3 legendary creature. As landfall, whenever a land you control enters, Tam becomes prepared. And Tam's prepared spell is Deep Sight. It's 3 green-blue for a sorcery. You draw a card and gain a life.
This is significantly less good than a Tachiova variant.
Yeah, so 4-mana 4/3 comes in not prepared. Landfall prepares it, which then means you can pay 3 green-blue to draw a card, gain a life. Yeah, Tachiova was a 5-mana 3/3, but was just landfall, draw a card, gain a life, not landfall, spend 2 mana to draw a card, gain a life.
Well, and Tachiova was kind of washed the last time we saw it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Was my memory?
Yeah, it came back in some master set or something. 4-mana 4/3 as a stat line is also not something I love, just because, like, I mean, maybe that it's purposefully that statted because you're like, I don't want to get this involved in combat anyway. And it's like, sure, you're not tussling your 4-3.
A card looks a little clunky to me.
I agree. Yeah,
it gets the C designation for clunky.
It can, I guess, unchecked. Like if we're doing board stall cloggy stuff, like this is a real engine. Everybody's going to have prepared spells. And so like everybody's going to have card advantage and maybe it doesn't need to work as hard as this makes you have to work for it.
Yeah, not excited about that card at face value currently.
Okay. We talked about the cuboid.
Which takes us on to every college has a cycle of mascots. And we have the Quandrix, not the Simic mascot here, the Quandrix mascot. We've got Fractal Mascot, which is 4 blue-green, and these mascots are commons. So this is a 6-6 common with trample. Whenever this creature enters, tap target creature and opponent controls, put a stun counter on it. This is the largest Frostlynx we've ever seen.
Yeah. Well, this is, and I think Frostlynx effect or the tap stun effect on a big chonker is actually more effective than on a 3-mana 2-2, you know, like, because this is like, all right, I'm going to keep down your biggest thing, which ostensibly will then make way for the Fractal Mascot to have an attack on the following turn.
Yeah, I like the look of that card as far as commons go.
And then there's a cycle of charms as well, which I think are interesting to talk about because they're pretty underpowered. As far as I can tell, this is the Quandrix charm. So it's green blue for an instant, and you get to choose one of three options. For this one, it's counter target spell unless its controller pays 2. Destroy target enchantment. Target creature has base power and toughness 5/5 until end of turn. So basically, like, the quench variant here is what we would, like, happily put in a limited deck. And then you get the outs to blow up an enchantment or have a little combat trick on the side.
You're never cutting that from your Quandrix deck, right?
No, but, like, are you playing multiples of them in your Quandrix deck?
I think so. But I don't think it. I also don't think it pulls you into Quandrix at all.
I don't think any of the charms are pulls into their respective colleges.
Yeah, so just a nice little reward. That takes us on to Lorehold, which is red-white. And first up, we've got the mascot. So we've got Spirit Mascot here. It's red-white for a 2/2 at common. Whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. This, I'm interested in.
Why are you interested in this, but not Cuboid Colony?
I was interested in Cuboid Colony. I was a little low in our discussion on Cuboid Colony, but this is what we always wanted from Spellgorger Weird, which is like a 2-mana version of the thing that grows instead of it starting to grow on turn 3. Now, are you going to have things in your graveyard ready to leave the graveyard already that soon in the game? Probably not.
Yeah, I mean, it seems fine. Like, the floor is a 2-mana 2-2, which you're going to need to play in your limited decks. I'm curious to see if they were able to turn the knobs to make the leave the graveyard stuff happen more in this format with the flashback stuff. Like, I don't know, how much can this grow in a game of limited?
I mean, if you make it a 3/3, you're thrilled. If it grows twice, yeah, you're overjoyed.
Yeah, I guess
it's Tarmogoyf at that point.
It's Tarmogoyf at that point. These are the takes I've come here for. Next up is Practiced Scrollsmith. This is red, white, and a red, white hybrid. So 3 total mana for 3/2 with first strike. When this creature enters, exile target non-creature, non-land card from your graveyard. Until the end of your next turn, you may cast that card. So now we're seeing some thinking outside the box ways to exile stuff from your graveyard as well. With some potential
in ways
for value.
That are actively good. Like, this is something you would actively want to do anyway, and then
right.
Also is triggering your Leave the Graveyard stuff. Yeah, this card is juiced.
Yeah. Next up, we talked about Molten Note. That's the X spell with flashback.
Yeah, and then we've got Lorehold Charm, which is red-white for an uncommon instant. Choose one. Each opponent sacrifices a non-token artifact of their choice. Not great. Return target artifact or creature card with mana value 2 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. That is great for Lorehold, presumably, because it's an instant speed way to trigger something leaving the graveyard. And then creatures you control get +1/+1 and gain trample until end of turn.
We've seen Lorehold Charm. We've seen Practice Scrollsmith that exiles a non-creature, non-land card from your graveyard. Like, please, can we have a Golden Egg variant? Please? Give me a golden egg, an omni cheese pizza, whatever you got to call it. Give me some trinkety artifact that is going to make its way to the graveyard.
I mean, surely they will.
Lorehold Charm is just bad, right?
No.
Bad? I mean, you're going to...
Two things you actively want.
But you would net, like, I guess how I'm thinking of it is, like, Quandrix Charm, there is at least a mode that I would put in my deck. I would put green, blue, counter a thing unless they pay two in my deck. I would never put red, white, one of these effects in my deck.
I think you would put the middle one in your red, white deck. Instant speed, bring back something out of the graveyard. Instant speed, exile something from a graveyard. That seems like it's going to be powerful in Lorehold.
Instant speed, return target artifact or creature card with mana value 2, because you're getting an instant speed.
Because you're getting the triggers. Yeah, you're getting the triggers from all your stuff that cares about it. That seems like it could be juicy.
Seems like we're back in finicky, trinkety Lorehold land, and I don't love it.
But then you also have the smash face mode on there as well when that lets you down. There's all these red and white cards that are like, well, do this thing and tap three other untapped creatures. If those aren't going to totally flop, you got to be going some amount of wide in red, white.
I guess.
Plus I'm skeptical. And trample to the team. That's like you add up your side of the board's power plus 4. And if it's greater than their life total plus toughness, you win. I mean, that's a powerful thing to have stapled onto a card. I like Lorehold Charm more than Quandrix Charm.
Interesting. Bets?
Let's do it. Bets? I'm in the hole. What are we at? Quadruple or nothing?
But I guess this is it's also going to be tied to
which, the college's win rate.
Which college is better? Like, so I don't know if I want to make this bet just yet. I got good news for you. Kirol is back. Kirol History Buff is in the set. This is red white for a 2/3 legendary vampire cleric. Whenever one or more cards leave your graveyard, Kirol becomes prepared. And his prepared spell is Pack a Punch, one red white for a sorcery, mill a card, put 2+/+1 counters on target creature. It gains trample until end of turn.
It's a lot for a 2-mana card.
So, yeah, 2-mana, 2/3 with lots of upside. But this is like an interesting card that, like, I don't feel, when I look at this, I don't feel precious about leaving it alive or not. Like, I feel okay to engage this in combat immediately. And I also feel okay for this to be a slight engine. Whereas the Quandrix one, the 4-mana 4/3, I feel like I kind of feel like I need to get the value out of this for it to be any kind of magic card.
Correct. Kirol is way better than Tam.
Yeah.
And last Lorehold card we've got here is Borrowed Knowledge. 2 red-white for a sorcery at uncommon. Choose one, discard your hand, then draw cards equal to the number of cards in target opponent's hand. Or discard your hand, then draw cards equal to the number of cards discarded this way. So you can either re-rack your hand, or if your opponent has way more cards in hand than you, you can Wheel of Fortune yourself, which sounds pretty great to me.
I know. I just want to draft a deck that's like all 1 and 2 drops and like 3 copies of Borrowed Knowledge and just be like, sounds vomit my awesome. Hand, draw 4 cards. How possible that will be, I don't know, but I've got my eyes on Borrowed Knowledge. All right, takes us on to Witherbloom, where we've got Bogwater Lumerate first up. It's black-green for a 2/2 Spirit Frog at common. Whenever this creature or another creature you control enters, you gain 1 life. Soul Sister.
I mean, that looks very good for what Witherbloom ostensibly is trying to do.
Seems extremely important. Like, that 4/4 drop we read, the 4-mana 4/4, that's the Vigilance Reach, comes in with 2+/+1 counters if you gained life. Can you stack those? Like, can that trigger itself with this in play or no? Judge?
I don't know. It's way worse if you can't, right? So Old Growth Educator says, when this creature enters, put 2+/+1 counters on it if you've gained life this turn. Yeah, I don't know.
Ugh.
No,
because you're good if you can, much worse if you can't.
I don't think you can, right? Because infusion won't trigger. Infusion checks when it enters.
Okay, that makes sense.
I don't think so.
Okay. All right. Check out this next card.
That makes me significantly less excited about Bogwater
Lumerate. It makes me less excited about the 4-drop. I still think Bogwater Lumerate is going to be like a key engine piece
of the infusion
Witherbloom deck. Yeah.
Next up, we've got Grapple with Death, which is one black green for a sorcery. Very clean card. This is a common. Destroy target artifact or creature. You gain one life.
That's real good.
Removal spell plus synergy, baby.
Yeah, three mana sorcery, kill anything full stop, plus trigger my other things. That's really good.
Well, it just depends on what, because infusion can be a variety of things, right? It can be them checking on ETB. It could be checking at your end step. It could be checking, like, there's so many ways to code infusion. Like, where are we going to get it loaded? If it's loaded as ETB, it's way worse, right? Because then you'd have to be grappling with death plus doing else.
I guess I'm just like, one black green sorcery kill anything seems good to me. And then the fact that there's like, and maybe you get a little something something extra feels a little pushed.
Sure. So Pest Mascot is up next. This is one black green for a common. It's 2/3 and it's got trample. Whenever you gain life, put a +1/+1 counter on this creature. That is a good card.
Like, so curve the 2-drop into this. It does
3/4 trample. Yeah, it does
3/4 trample. Is Witherbloom great? Did they get me again? These three commons are looking good.
Except the thing about it is the thing I don't love about Witherbloom currently is it has nothing to do with anything else that is happening in the set. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's just over here in the corner, like, well, please let me gain life in this set where everything else is about prepared and casting all these spells.
Graveyard and targeting and, yeah, okay.
So that's a tough ask, like, once you start down the Witherbloom path to pivot off, but maybe it'll be juiced enough to where you're incentivized to do that?
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Next up, we've got the namesake card of the episode, the titular, as Ethan likes to say, Teacher's Pest. We've got black-green for an uncommon, Skeleton Pest. This is a 1/1 with Menace. Whenever this creature attacks, you gain a life, and you can pay black-green to return this card from your graveyard to the battlefield tapped.
Bro, I'm going to just make a Lorehold Witherbloom fusion deck, and Teacher's Pest is going to repeatedly trigger my leave the graveyard stuff.
You get that converge stuff along the way.
There it is. I mean, this is reassembling skeleton, but as with menace and life gain,
card does look annoying. I think it is aptly named.
I think this card is annoying because one of the things about like attacking with it is like not trivial, and in terms of like you're gonna gaining a life for free. And does your opponent want to leave
two things back? Yeah.
And so is this just like two mana gain and drain, like gain one and deal them one every turn? And then if they double block it, you're like, cool, I'm just going to bring it back anyway. Like, this does look pretty annoying.
Yeah, that looks very good.
Next, we've got, we talked about Old Growth Educator. That's the 4/4. Then we've got the prepared uncommon. This is Lewin Exchange Student. Two black green for a 3/4 elf druid. Enters prepared. It has a static ability of exile a creature card from your graveyard. Lewin becomes prepared. Activate only as a sorcery. And the prepared spell is Pest Friend. Black green hybrid for a sorcery. Make a 1/1 black and green pest creature token with whenever this token attacks, you gain a life. Whoa, this card is good. Like, you can just... so. If this goes unanswered, the next turn, let's say you've got three things in your graveyard, you just get to go, make a pest friend, exile another creature, a pest friend, exile another creature, make a pest friend.
That's absurd.
Yeah, it doesn't say once per turn. It doesn't, like...
That's really busted.
It's really good.
Okay, Witherbloom, I see you. I mean, that's the kind of thing I was talking about, though, because it's so self-contained. Like, if they put the power in there, like, then you're incentivized. Then you're like, fine, okay, great.
There needs to be some self-mill, and we haven't seen any of that yet. But ostensibly, black and green are going to have something that puts some stuff in the graveyard.
And lastly, we've got the Witherbloom Charm, which is black-green for an instant. Uncommon, choose one. You can sacrifice a permanent. If you do draw two cards, you gain 5 life. That's going to be so annoying to lose to. or destroy target non-land permanent with mana value 2 or less.
Already, already thinking about ways that he's going to be, all right, I got my opponent down to 4 and I alpha and then they gain 5 and they beat me on the crackback.
It's going to happen. I'm calling
it now. This is the best charm, I think, so far. Because I think 2 mana, destroy target non-land permanent with mana value 2 or less is like good on curve. And then later, I can sack a pest to draw 2 cards or sack a land if you want even. And gain 5 life, being synergistic, being randomly like tip the race in my favor. I think Witherbloom Charm is good.
Yeah, I think that one looks strong.
What do you think? I mean, I agree with you that Witherbloom looks like it's on an island, but I might want to live on that island.
It looks like they got a lot of good fruit on the island. Yeah, a lot of good food, some chickens running around.
Yeah, I don't know. Seems good.
Prismari up next. We've got the mascot here first, which is Elemental Mascot. 1 blue red for a common 1/4 with flying and vigilance. Love that stat line.
Mm-hmm.
It's got Opus. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, it gets +1/+0 until end of turn. If 5 or more mana was spent to cast that spell, you exile the top card of your library and you can play that card until the end of your next turn.
This card looks great.
It's very strong. I mean, it's going to hold the fort. You're fine engaging in combat. It's threatening to be an actively good blocker. Then it's going to give you card advantage late in the game. What's not to like?
Yeah, I think this is a great looking common. Next, we've got Prismari Charm. It's blue red for an instant. Choose 1. Surveil 2, then draw a card. Prismari Charm deals 1 damage to each of 1 or 2 targets. Return target non-land permanent to its owner's hand.
Well, this is officially the best charm.
That's officially the best charm. I agree. Those are like all 3 modes that you would pay 2 mana for.
Yes.
Yep. Okay.
That one looks strong. That almost is a pull into Prismari.
Mm-hmm.
And then next we've got Rapturous Moment, which is 4 blue red for an uncommon sorcery. Draw 3 cards, then discard 2 cards. Add blue, blue, red, red, red.
What do you make of this card?
I think it is juicy.
This
is going to give you double like Magma Opus triggers for 5 mana or more. Like you cast this, then you cast another thing to get like the double. What?
If you have another 5 mana spell specifically.
You just drew 3 cards. What do you mean you're not going to have another 5 mana spell?
You drew 3 cards and maybe you've got some prepared spells in exile waiting to be cast.
Sure. This looks very juicy. I'm excited about this card.
I agree. It's interesting because like you're not up a card at the end of this. But like, I don't know. You're pitch 1 land as one of the 2 cards you're just... I don't know.
But by the time you're at this point in the game,
let me take that again. I burped in the middle of my. I mean, you're not up a card at the end of this, like. But if you discard a land as one of the 2, and if you're discarding 2 lands, like, it's pretty juiced in the late game.
Yeah, I mean, this is exactly when you want to draw 3, discard 2 is when you have 6 mana.
Mm-hmm. Next, we've got Stress Dream. This is 3 blue red for an instant. Deals 5 damage to up to 1 target creature. Look at the top 2 cards of your library. Put 1 of those cards into your hand and the other on the bottom of your library.
What a card.
What a card. I love how they're like, and if you want to just trigger Opus, you don't even need to kill something. You can just spend 5 mana for Opt.
Yeah, I mean, get out of here with that nonsense. This card is absurd.
Like, is 5 mana deal 5 draw card that absurd in 2026?
Yes. When you get to look at 2 and pick the best one of 2, this card is nuts.
It's very good, I agree, but like,
and it's splashable. More nuts
than... Yeah, it is splashable, that's true.
Spectacular Sky Whale is up next. This is 2 blue red for an uncommon. It's a 1/4 flying elemental whale. And it has Opus. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, it gets +3/+0 until end of turn. If 5 or more mana was spent to cast that spell, instead you put 3 +1/+1 counters on it to turn it into a 4/7 and then a 7/10, etc.
Am I crazy to like the common 1/4 flying Vigi more than this?
Yes.
That's only 3 mana?
Yes.
Well, then I guess if that's wrong, I don't want to be right.
I think you've forgotten how tough We Dragonauts is. Also, this naturally curving
Dragonauts is like a 20-year-old card. What are we comparing apples to? I don't know, Teslas. Like, what's happening here?
This naturally curves into Opus, though, too. Like, you're going to play this as a 4-mana 1/4, and if they don't kill it, it's going to be a 4/7 flying the next turn.
I guess that's fair. If you just think that, like, the first time you trigger this, it's going to be a 4/7. Yeah,
that's
maybe
really
it's like
good.
It's a must kill. Yeah, but if you don't, it's so blah. All right, you're probably right. 4-mana 1/4 flyers, I can't. It's very hard for me to get behind, but if it's a 4-mana 4/7 flyer, it's pretty good.
It's really easy to get behind.
It's really easy to get behind. And the prepared creature is Sonar Unfinished Genius. Blue-red for an 0/4. Enters prepared. Tap, create a treasure token. Activate only if you've cast an instant or sorcery spell this turn. And Sonar's prepared spell is Wild Idea, which is 3 blue-red for a sorcery. Search your library for an instant or sorcery card. Reveal it, put it into your hand, then shuffle.
I mean, it's certainly not good unless you're doing some broken stuff with it, but it does give you the potential to do broken stuff. Also, it gives you a mana rebate.
What we haven't seen is the, like, are there spells that affect the board in Izzet? You know, coming off of our archetype architecture episode, that is what I'm looking for, because, like, if I can do something that affects the board on 3 or 4 that is an instant or sorcery that lets me make a treasure token with this, that then is going to let me cast Wild Idea a turn sooner, then I'm into this. But otherwise, I'm a little worried about this.
Sure. I mean, we do know that there are things of that ilk. There's a 5-mana instant spell that makes a 3/3 flyer that surveils 2. So we know there's one for 5-mana. I assume that they'll make them cheaper things also.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
That one is certainly, like, if you just compare them as Magic cards compared to Lewin Exchange Student from Witherbloom, yeah, like, there's a laughable difference in just intrinsic power level.
But if it is a sort of, like, I just want the board to stall so that I can get cast all my prepared spells, a 2-mana 0/4 is nice in that regard.
Yeah, it doesn't even, like, hold off pests, though. 0/4 is a pretty poor blocker. You want it to have a point of power.
Yeah, okay.
All right, takes us on to Silver Quill, where we've got the mascot up first. Inkling mascot, which is white-black for a common. It's a 2/2, has repartee. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature, this creature gains flying until end of turn. Surveil 1. That is juicy.
Yeah, I love this card. We've got Silver Quill Charm as well. This completes the cycle. White, black for an instant. Choose 1. Put 2++1 counters on target creature. Exile target creature with power 2 or less. And each opponent loses 3 life and you gain 3 life. This is also great. Okay, most of these charms are great.
Most of the charms are good, yeah. I think you had some charm slander before we went through all the charms.
I still think Lorehold Charm looks stinky to me, but most of these charms are good. And, like, the fact, like, exile a creature with power 2 or less is the first one of these that's like, you can gain a mana advantage on this. Like, I play my 4-mana 1/4 Prismari flyer, and you snipe it with a Silver Quill Charm, that feels bad.
Correct. And we've also got the prepared spell here, which is Abigail Poet Laureate. This is 1
She's
white
back.
Black for an uncommon 2/3 flyer with whenever you cast a creature spell, she becomes prepared. So you're already in just for 1 white black 2/3 flyer. That's fine. And then the prepared spell is Heroic Stanza, which is 1 and an Orzhov hybrid mana for a sorcery to put a +1/+1 counter on target creature.
This one also rules. Like, the fact that the prepared spell is cheap and that, like, they re-trigger and, like, the Heroic Stanza as the put a +1/+1 counter on target creature means that you're going to have that synergize with all of your repartee stuff. Abigail looks great.
Yeah, very strong card.
All right. So we get to Greater Garbage.
Let's get to Great or Garbage. It's that time, baby.
Is that time? So the rules are pretty simple. At the end of the conversation, we have to put a stamp. Great or Garbage. on the card, and forever be held accountable for our decisions by doing so.
First the dream up, of our peers.
First up is Daydream. Single white for a sorcery. Exile target creature you control, then return that card to the battlefield under its owner's control with a +1/+1 counter on it, and is flashback for 2 and a white. Aside from this being paired with Quantum Riddler in formats galore, what do you think about this card in Secrets of Strixhaven Limited?
Do you think that's going to be a standard deck?
For sure. I mean, it's already like people are already doing that with Riddler with other
in
cards,
Eternal formats.
I think Daydream is going to pop right in there. What are we blinking here? At sorcery
things
speed.
Things with good ETBs, presumably.
Trigger Repartee in black white, and you get a flashback spell in red white.
All of it looks a little slow to me.
I mean, and it's sorcery speed, so you have to do it, like, can't do it into open mana. Like,
yeah. I mean, you can, because you still get the flashback spell. If we have to choose, I'm choosing garbage.
I am also choosing garbage for this. We've got Graduation Day as well. Single white for an enchantment at uncommon with a Repartee trigger. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell that targets a creature, put a +1/+1 counter on target creature you control.
Is that worth a card?
How many counters do you need to get for this to be worth a card?
Three
+1/+1 counters for a single white mana is a lot.
This is a lot, and it's so easy to fit into a turn. It only costs one. This card piqued my curiosity for sure.
But it does cost a card in your deck.
But if we've got prepared things running around everywhere, everybody's got cards, right? Are we really going to be hurting for cards that much?
Yeah. I mean, if Silver Quill is doing the thing, this is only goes in a Silver Quill deck, right? This is not, you wouldn't put this in a Lorehold deck, you would think.
Correct. This is Silver Quill only for sure.
I mean, if we're not running out of things to do thanks to prepared, I could see this being good enough. I've been surprised by, like, I'm thinking of what was that card? Like Veil of Assimilation or something from Phyrexia Albion. That was the 1 and a white artifact. And when an artifact entered, you gave something +1/+1 until end of turn. It wasn't even like a permagrowth. And we felt like that was like too clunky, but there actually was a blue white artifact deck that could get there with that card. I think this will be less hard to make good because it's permanently buffing the creatures. And Repartee is the thing Silver Quill is trying to do. I don't know. Maybe this is great.
That's initially where I thought I was going to come down. And the more I'm looking at this, like, this just feels like a lot of work to do for some counters. And it could go disastrously wrong.
It's hard to engage with creatures in combat when this is on the battlefield and your opponent has open mana.
It is going to make combat miserable. Maybe this is great. I think that I'm back to where I started. I'm saying if we have to choose greater garbage, I'm choosing that this gets there and is great.
I think, great in Silver Quill.
Yes. Takes us on to Primary Research, which is 4 and a white for an uncommon enchantment. Whenever this enchantment enters, return target non-land permanent card with mana value 3 or less from your graveyard to the battlefield. At the beginning of your end step, if a card left your graveyard this turn, draw a card. What is that face? This is Roost of Drakes. This is the easiest grade of our lives.
This is a Roost of Drakes has been announced.
We just did the build arounds. This gives you the thing. It gives you the first trigger up front. This is 5 mana, draw a card, get back a 3-drop.
If you have something to get back.
If you built your deck right at all, you will have something.
Is 5 mana for a 3-drop draw card good enough?
Assuming you're going to get future triggers of cards being drawn, I am more confident that Primary Research gets there than Graduation Day gets there.
It's Roost of Drakes. I feel like a scorned lover, you know? I was so hyped for Lorehold the first time around, and all the Leave the Graveyard stuff was terrible, and I am just scared to get burned again.
But imagine if all your flashback stuff says flashback draw card.
I know, that seems great.
All right. There you go. Primary research is great.
All right. Primary research gets the great. Next, we've got Deluge Virtuoso. 2 and a blue for a 2-2 human wizard. When it enters, tap target creature and opponent controls and put a stun counter on it. Blah, Frost Lynx is back, but it's got an Opus trigger. Whenever you cast an instant or sorcery spell, this gets +1/+1 until end of turn. And if 5 or more mana was spent to cast that spell, this creature gets +2/+2 until end of turn instead. Did they do it?
I don't know. I'm so scarred. Like, I read this, and every part of my Magic player brain says, yes, this is great. And then every other part of my Magic player brain says, yeah, but every time they've printed this card in the last 7 years, it's been terrible.
They printed Flying Frost Lynx in original Strixhaven, and we were all hot and bothered about it, and it just was fine. Didn't matter. I'm gonna guess that this maybe also doesn't matter.
That's my feeling. Like, where do you care about it? You don't particularly care about it in Prismari because it's not giving you spells. Like, you're going to have prepared creatures to give you creatures plus spells, and it is not that. Mm-hmm. And I just, like, Prismari also looks like it wants to play for the late game and do some big flashy, opus-y type stuff in the late game. And this is not a late game card. This is...
Right, then you're like, cool, you have a 4-4 for a turn. That can't possibly be good enough.
And this also doesn't look great in Quandrix to me.
I agree. I think I'm going garbage. I think
is that insane? That's where I want to land also, but that just feels so wrong.
I think they got to make Frost Lynx a 3-mana 3/3 in 20. Like, I think that's just like what's going to need to make it good. Sorry.
Whoa.
Deluge Virtuoso getting garbage from both of us.
Takes us on to Landscape Painter. 1 and a blue for a 2/1, enters prepared, and its prepared spell is Vibrant Idea. 4 and a blue for a sorcery, draw 2 cards.
I think this is going to be the poster child for you should have just traded this off.
Yeah, if you can.
I think people are going to be like so precious about, I want to get my 5-mana draw 2, and they will have forgotten along the way that 5-mana draw 2 isn't very good, and then you are left with a 2-mana 2/1, which also isn't very good. So if you had an opportunity to trade this in any capacity, you should do so. That being said, I think this is probably great.
This has to be great.
This has to be great.
Has to be, I think.
Yeah.
Because either you trade your 2-drop off and it did its job, or correct, you get an extreme amount of value from your 2-drop, in which case it is actually great.
Right. I think so. I'm in for Landscape Painter. Okay. Procrastinate.
They did it. They finally did it.
They got me again. Exit of blue for a sorcery. Tap target creature. Put twice X stun counters on it. Is this just blue murder?
You have to cast it for at least X equals 2. But if X is 2, it's locked down for 4 turns. That's forever.
That's what I'm saying, man. Like, I guess there's a little bit of, what was the removal spells? Like, it's a little bit, it's Blossom Bind. From, like, you don't want, not everything is gonna be good to procrastinate. Like, you procrastinate a creature that's got a prepared spell attached to it. That's not great, because they still get to cast their prepared spell as this thing is sitting on the battlefield. But, like, casting Procrastinate on some like 4-mana 4/4, 5-mana 5/5 is going to feel like you just killed it.
This still has to be garbage, right? I love this type of effect.
3 and a blue, tap a thing down for 6 turns. That's the whole game.
It's a long time, but like you said, there's going to be prepared stuff floating around. This just has too much. Like, if we're down on enchantment removal, this still has more drawbacks than enchantment removal does.
But it triggers Opus.
If X is 4?
Well, Opus, period. And then you get your 5-mana Opus possibilities, if you want.
I still am viewing Blue-Red as a deck that wants to go to the late game, I think.
But how late? 10 turns into the late game? It's probably garbage, but it's interesting.
It is interesting. It's interesting to dream about.
Yeah.
We've got Muse's Encouragement up next. This was the card we referenced earlier. This is 4 and a blue for an instant. Create a 3/3 blue and red elemental creature token with flying at common and surveil 2.
I mean, we've seen long ago 5-mana 3/4 flyers that scry 2, surveil 2 on ETB. You lose in a point of toughness for instant speed and then synergy, right? Because it's a 5-mana instant.
I mean, this can't be great. Like, there's no world. There's no,
because of prepared stuff, right?
Because of prepared, and because you can't just jam your deck full of three of these. Like, the only deck that wants this is Prismari. And you should get it if Prismari's open.
Yes. Yeah,
I guess Quandrix is going to like get +1/+1 counters at instant speed, maybe. But that's true of any spell in Quandrix. Like, this is not unique to Quandrix in that way.
Yeah, man, it's crazy. I think we're not allowed to say good. That's what I would say, but I guess
I'm coming down on garbage for this.
Garbage. OK, a card in a similar vein is Artistic Process. This is 3 red for an uncommon sorcery. Choose one. Deal 6 damage to target creature. Deal 2 damage to each creature you don't control. Or make a 3/3 blue and red elemental creature token with flying that gains haste until end of turn.
This one is great. Like, these are pretty great. These are three very good options.
Yeah. It's like a baby Ashling's Command, huh?
Baby Ashling's Command. Yeah. All right. I like it. I like that take.
Yeah, I mean, like, none of these modes are great, but they're all slightly overcosted. But I think I'm okay with that for the flexibility, because they're all pretty impactful overcosted effects.
Well, and overcosted to the point where you get the ultimate opus.
You'll get an opus benefit for the 5-mana.
All right, that takes us on to Biblioplex Tomekeeper, which is 4-mana for an artifact creature at common. This is 3/4, and when it enters, choose up to 1, target creature becomes prepared, or target creature becomes unprepared.
I mean, I have to imagine this is garbage, but it's interesting. It's interesting garbage.
I want to say great. That seems like you're getting enough.
So either you get to re-prepare or just prepare for free-ish your own creature, or really the dream is to unprepare your opponent's creature so they can't cast their spell.
Right.
So many of the creatures
can re-prepare just themselves.
Just re-prepare. Yeah.
I don't know. 4-mana 3/4 either draw you a card or coercion and a card out of your opponent's hand.
It's dangerous to say that preparing is draw a card. It's very dangerous to say that.
I mean, I just put it out into the world.
I think this is garbage. I think this has to be garbage.
I'm going to say great for Biblioplex Tomekeeper.
You're a dreamer and a schemer. Skycoach Waypoint is a land, an uncommon land. It taps for colorless mana, and you can pay 3 tap to have target creature become prepared.
It's clean. It's clunky.
It's like... I don't
18
know. I
land
don't
think... for 18 land format. This is your 18th land.
18 land format. This is your 18th land. I guess we're just talking about just buckets of doing nothing with your mana. We're talking about I cast this clunky prepared spell, so now my creature is unprepared, and now I'm going to spend 4 mana to re-prepare it, and then I'm going to get to cast that spell again. Like, what? What is happening in this game of Magic where this is being allowed to go undisrupted?
So garbage?
I think garbage. I don't think we need this card. Like, when was the last time utility land like this was good?
It's been a while.
And it's colorless, and we've in a set where we've got like black green 2-drops, red white 2-drops. You can't put a colorless land in your deck.
Yeah, you can't put a colorless land in your deck. You're right. You're right. Garbage, garbage, garbage. Okay. Next up, I don't think this one's garbage. This is Fractal Anomaly. Okay. Single blue for an instant and uncommon. Create a 0/0 green and blue fractal creature token and put +1/+1 counters on it, where X is the number of cards you've drawn this turn.
Okay. Why is this good?
This is what you wanted. This is a cheap spell that is giving you board presence and helping you trigger Opus. This is interesting. And you don't have to get much. You don't have to get much from it to be happy. Like, you need this to be a 2/2 before you're like, okay, you did enough. So, like, you need a double spell with this plus one other instant and sorcery. It's going to give you double Opus triggers the turn that you pop off with it, at least maybe a triple Opus trigger situation. It's weird that it's called Fractal Anomaly because I like it theoretically in Prismari more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, wait, but it's not the number of, I thought it was the number, of, the number spells of spells you've
the number
cast.
Of cards you've drawn.
Cards you've drawn. Interesting.
It's harder to do.
That's harder to do. That's not what I thought the card was.
Would you like to revise your assessment of said card? Or do you
curious. I'm still curious about it. At worst, it's a one mana 1/1.
I think your take that despite this saying fractal on it, it feels more Prismari to me still rings true.
Yes.
And that you don't need to do much more than have drawn an additional card to feel good about casting this.
Yeah. I'm going garbage if it's the number of cards you've drawn this turn.
Well, and it is. We've got Dual Tactics. Single red for a sorcery. Dual Tactics deals one damage to target creature. It can't block this turn and has flashback for one and a red.
I think this card's sneaky scary. My initial inclination on reading this card was that it was hot garbage, and then I read it again, and then I read it again, and I was like, nah. I think this is good in Lorehold and Prismari.
Do you remember, what was the set? Oh, it was Theros. Theros Beyond Death had a 4-mana red spell that dealt a damage to each of up to 3 target creatures, and they couldn't block.
Couldn't block, yeah.
And that set also had a mechanic that cared about targeting your creatures. So not only will this be good at, you know, one red, two things can't block. It also kills X1s. But also in your Lorehold decks, you're going to have some number of repartee cards that are white. And then you get to, you can target your own stuff with it if you want, if things need to be targeted to trigger that. So I think you're right to think Dual Tactics is sneaky good.
Well, and double Opus triggers in Prismari the turn that you cast it twice.
Or it could just be one red, kill an X2 also.
Yeah, I think it's very flexible. I think Dual Tactics is actually great.
I think it's great, too. That was perhaps one of the most civil greater garbage segments we've ever had.
We're just pro card evaluators at this point. Old hats.
There it is. That's the hottest of takes, I think.
that's I'm excited the teacher's pass right there.
I'm excited to be back in universe with
back in universe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Back in universe with stuff that we have questions about going into the format. I think a lot of questions about how I think it will probably congeal pretty quickly once we start playing with the cards. But it's fun to have hypotheses going into a format.
Right. And I think I see the level one, level two. I feel like figuring out the colleges will be level one. And then I think there will be I see the seeds of where's the cross pollination. Is there a 4-color, 5-color nonsense deck? That sort of thing. Like, I think there's going to be some layers of decks to discover throughout the weeks that we have with Strixhaven.
Converge, real or not real?
I think not real, but I will really be doing it.
I could see three color converge getting there. Like, you put some converge cards in like a Prismari Lorehold deck or whatever, a Jeskai deck.
Yeah, I guess.
Just seems like from what we've seen so far of reading through the colleges that there's so many gold cards that if you can land in a college, you're gonna be set.
Right. Yeah, especially if it's like, you know, when you're the only one. So if there's 5 colleges for 8 players, like two people could theoretically be the only people at the table drafting said college. That's going to be pretty great.
Yeah, that'll be nice. All right. great place to wrap us up. Thank you, as always, to Salty Pretzels for our intro and outro music. Make sure you give it a listen.
You can find all of our content at lordsoflimited.com. We've got links to our episode backlogs, our YouTube channel, our Twitch streams, respectively, our Patreon page, our merch. All of that's available at lordsoflimited.com.
If you've got any feedback about the show or any questions, shoot us an email at lordsoflimited@gmail.com.
Thank you so much for listening, and we'll catch you next week for another episode of Lords of Limited.
Thanks, everybody. See you later.